Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, June 23rd. Amparo Aranda, age 84, of Midland, passed away on Monday, June 20th, surrounded by her family. There will be a rosary held on Thursday, June 23rd, at 7 p.m. at Nally Pickle and Welch Chapel. Funeral Mass will be held on Friday, June 24th, at 2 p.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Amparo was born on March 18, 1938, to Carmen and Reyes Armendariz in Mexico. She is survived by her children, Maria Villalobos, Amparo Holguin, Hector Aranda, Carmen Brito, Samuel Aranda, Fernando Aranda, along with their spouses and families. She is also survived by two sisters and two brothers. She was preceded in death by her parents, as well as husband Hector Manuel Aranda Sr., daughter Irma Aranda, three sons Alicio Aranda, Humberto Aranda, and Omar Aranda, two sisters, and one brother. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Marjorie Ann Hagest passed away peacefully on May 21st. She was born in Cheyenne Wells, Colorado on October 19, 1927. Her early years were spent on a small farm in eastern Colorado and Nebraska. After graduating from St. Agnes Catholic High School in Los Angeles, California, she joined the Superior Oil Company and was later promoted to the role of executive assistant to the founder and chairman, William M. Keck, Sr. It was at Superior Oil that she met her future husband, Warren Hagest, a University of Wyoming geology graduate from Casper, Wyoming. With their family, Warren and Marge enjoyed living in Alaska, England, Texas, and Colorado, while Warren explored for oil in many places around the world. Marge is survived by her daughter, Jill Hagest Johnson, her son, Peter Hagest, their spouses, Mike Johnson and Evie Hagest. She has four wonderful grandsons, along with numerous nieces and nephews. There will be a private mass and celebration of her life at a later date. Mary Diane Garrett was born December 21, 1943, to Bill and Geneva Tidwell in Pampa, Texas. She passed away in Midland on June 20th. Diane was a beloved mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother, along with being a cherished member of First Christian Church. She was preceded in death by her parents, Geneva and Bill Tidwell, and brother Billy Eugene Tidwell, Jr. She is survived by her husband, Robert Bob Garrett of Midland, daughter Jessica and husband Kevin of Midland, and son Greg and wife Candy of Midland. She also leaves behind grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Visitation will be from 7 to 9 p.m. Friday, June 24th, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, June 25th, at First Christian Church. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to a charity of your choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Russell Rusty Leon Freeman, Jr., age 73, of Midland, passed away on Sunday, June 19th, at home, surrounded by his family, after a very brief battle with cancer. Rusty was born on November 14, 1948, to Nell and Russell Leon Freeman, Sr., in Baird, Texas. He graduated from Robert E. Lee High School in 1967. and went on to graduate from the University of North Texas in 1972. He started his own interior design firm in 1976 and loved helping his clients turn houses into homes. Rusty married Andrea Daniel on March 6, 1982. They had 40 years together and could be seen having lunch together almost daily. Rusty is survived by his wife, Andrea, son Kevin and wife Ashley, daughter Caroline and husband Sean Spears, son Jordan and wife Haley, as well as several grandchildren. He is preceded in death by his parents, Nell and Leon Freeman. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations in his honor be made to High Sky Children's Ranch, 8613 West County Road 60, Midland, Texas, 79707. A memorial service will be held Friday, June 24th at 11 a.m. at First Baptist Church in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at npwelch.com. Sheila Sue Bertram Scott, also known as Big Red, went to the arms of her Heavenly Father on May 29th in Corpus Christi, Texas. She was 52 years old. Sheila is survived by her father, Benny N. Rose of Midland, her daughter, Leanne Lynn, and husband, Kyle of Big Spring, her son, Daniel Bertram, and wife, Bailey of Big Spring, her brother, Will Rose, and wife, Shelby of Midland, her sister, Melinda Beggs Jackson, and husband, Gregory of Weatherford, Texas, her sister, Mary Weddle, and husband, Joe of Midland, as well as several grandchildren. Sheila is preceded in death by her grandparents, Chuck and Mary Louise Houston, J.T. and Mary Rose, her uncles and aunt, Charles Rose and Larry and Patty Rose, and her beloved mother, Betty Sue Rose. She was born on July 14, 1969 in Midland. She graduated from Greenwood High School in 1987. She married Michael Bertram. After the birth of her children, Sheila went to nursing school at Howard College, where she received her LVN. Sheila, also affectingly known to many as Big Red, loved being a nurse. A celebration of life for Sheila Scott is scheduled for June 25th at 1 p.m. at First Christian Church, 1301 West Louisiana Avenue in Midland, 79701. It will be immediately followed by a come-and-go meal at 908 East County Road 121, Midland, Texas. Come share your stories of the beautiful life she lived. Condolences can be sent to 4606 South County Road 1185 in Midland. In lieu of flowers, please make a donation to Centers for Children and Families in Midland at https://centerstx.org/donate or a local mental health or suicide prevention center in your area or a charity of your choice. Sylvia Nicole Smith, age 30, of Midland, passed away on August 1, 2013. A celebration of life will be on Friday, June 24th at 1 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel, with Pastor Dennis Hodge Sr. officiating. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, June 18, 2022. Viewpoints. Resident participation makes city better. Community involvement in government can help make processes better in area. Stuart Doreen, staff columnist. There's no reason to get involved in local government. Show up at meetings? What's the point? Government boards are going to do what they want anyway. That is the complaint we hear often from people looking for a reason not to engage. They believe local government boards are going to rubber stamp their agenda items without thoughtful consideration of what the public wants. That's what they say on social media anyway. Luckily, the people of Greentree and Mockingbird Heights weren't listening. On Tuesday, residents approached the city leaders to take a second look at zoning that could prove problematic for their neighboring communities, and their comments weren't entirely NIMBY, not in my backyard, in nature. And the council responded, calling for city staff to look at options that would not only keep a housing and office project alive, but also help for future and certain growth in Northwest Midland. In a nutshell, city leaders didn't just settle for good. They asked if something could be made better. I have to admit, I wasn't expecting that, not on this item, but I'm incredibly impressed. Leaders like Scott Dufford, Jack Ladd Jr., and Lori Blong went in that direction. Some might have forgotten, but city leaders saw an opportunity not to settle before. Last year, residents stormed City Hall, wanting an outcome for development planned for the Nueva Vista golf course. That was terribly flawed. The council at the time also said, let's see what possibilities are out there. Both situations weren't just a win for residents in those respective areas, but potentially a win for Midland. Again, potentially. Two things are true about the situations involving areas near Greentree and Grasslands. The first is open land is not guaranteed to stay open. It is just a matter of time before the city has signed off on plans for development of the two areas. The second is city leaders will want to be able to show progress in both cases. With Grasslands, they will want to either see the developer to show a better site plan, one more consistent with the area around it, or they will want to see if Grasslands residents were serious about efforts to save the open spaces. Here's hoping a little competition brings the best use of that space. With Greentree, city leaders have the opportunity to show that government can be part of the solution. Midland needs another dominant, Wadley Avenue-like, east-west thoroughfare north of Loop 250. That should be Mockingbird, and while I won't see the parkway in my lifetime, picking up Mockingbird from Midland Drive to Holiday Hill would be progress for the here and now. If a debate about an area next to Greentree helped open the eyes to the council to that progress, then that debate was worth having. A little moment of disclosure. I live in Greentree, and I had no problem with the development southeast of the intersection at Greentree Boulevard and Midland Drive, the office space and the building of houses. I realized when I bought my family's house that there was an open field east of Greentree, and that space could one day become something other than pasture land. I also realized that, cart, bike, walking lanes or not, Greentree Boulevard is a thoroughfare. Still, some of my neighbors showed up at Tuesday's council meeting and made their voices heard, and I'm glad to say the process was better because they did.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Medical risks on tooth extractions. Dear Dr. Roach, I am an 85-year-old female in fair health. I take medication for blood pressure and high cholesterol. My dentist recommended extracting 4 lower front teeth. 2 are resorbed, plus a bone graft to prepare for a bridge. I am concerned about medical risks due to my age. Answer. The medical risk posed by tooth extraction is quite small, even in a person in their 80s. It is not uncommon for the dental surgeon to use a bone graft to help strengthen the area for a bridge or implant. 500,000 bone grafts are performed in the U.S. every year. Infection is the most common serious side effect, and it is not likely. Very rare side effects include blood clots and nerve damage, and those are rarer still. Some discomfort and swelling after the procedure are expected, and your dentist will give you advice and maybe medication to treat this.
No cause can be identified for gastroparesis. Dear Dr. Roach, I was diagnosed a few years ago with gastroparesis, and I took domperidone for a while. The medicine didn't change anything, so I discontinued it. I've had stomach emptying tests, colonoscopies, and endoscopies looking for answers. I have pain in my upper right abdomen and also occasionally get a cramp in the muscle in that area at times. My most recent issues started last year and include never being hungry and feeling no urge to empty my bladder unless I'm going to have bowel movement when it's an urgent feeling to urinate. I recently had a scan of my upper abdomen with no answers. I've spoken to a gastroenterologist, primary care, and gynecologist, and no one seems to have any answers. I can go all day without eating and never get hungry. I eat because I know I need to, but it's hard when there is no hunger. My weight has been stable for a few years. I'm 74 years old, don't have diabetes, and am fairly active with golf and walking on my treadmill. I have looked online and learned that nerves may be involved in not signaling my stomach nor my bladder to empty. Where should I go next? CH. Answer. Gastroparesis comes from the Greek root meaning no stomach movement. Although diabetes is a common cause for this uncommon ailment, most people do not have an identifiable cause of gastroparesis. Some medications can trigger it, and some cases start shortly after a viral infection. You are correct that in the vast majority of cases, the underlying issue seems to be in the nervous control of stomach and intestinal movement. But what exactly produces this remains unknown. I am not sure whether the source of your gastroparesis is also at the root of your urinary symptoms.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, June 23rd. Man's history as abuse victim impacts marriage. Dear Abby, my husband was forced into sex at the age of 12 by an older female. He has expressed how humiliated he felt and that he made it his mission to never feel inadequate again. He gets his knowledge of satisfying a woman through porn. I have tried to explain to him that what he's seeing is only a performance put on for the male viewer. I have tried more than once to show him what really makes a woman tick, but he insists I don't know what I'm talking about and that I'm lying to him. I have tried every gentle approach to avoid hurting his feelings. I know from family members' comments about his bedroom having been a revolving door for women that he probably didn't use much discernment in his past. How can I move forward when I feel like he's stuck in the past? I know being sexually abused causes all kinds of trauma. He insists he's over it, but his actions tell me otherwise. I'm pretty sure I'm not his first unsatisfied partner because all his other relationships have ended because they were crazy, stupid, fat, unfaithful. I don't want to give up on him. Please help. Signed, Patient Wife in Florida. Dear wife, talking to your husband must be like talking to a wall. Solid marriages are built on trust and good communication, and your husband seems capable of neither. I admire your perseverance. The fact that he may have never had counseling to deal with what he went through as a child is regrettable. It could help even now. A licensed sex therapist might be able to help your husband see that you are not lying to him when you tell him that what pleases one woman might not please another. If you can't make him understand what makes you tick, then cross your fingers and hope the therapist can get the message across. Dear Abby, my 40-year-old nephew, Randy, hasn't spoken with his sister, Elise, in 5 years because of a disagreement about the resolution of their father's trust. When they visited me 4 years ago, he wouldn't speak to her. Elise and her husband later announced they were adopting a baby. Randy visited me alone 6 months later, and I suggested, without success, that he put this aside until after the adoption. During the adoption, she became pregnant and had a second child. Randy still hasn't seen or talked with her or his niece and nephew. Our relationship has deteriorated since. Randy and Elise tried a mediator last year, again without success. I should mention he doesn't speak with his mother either. He has dodged any further discussion about the situation. I'm at a loss. We were all so close, and I miss him, but I can't accept his actions anymore. Any suggestions? Signed, Uncle in Pain. Dear Uncle, in some families, blood is thicker than water. Your nephew appears to feel that money is thicker than blood. As much as you might wish to do it, you can't change him, because his unwillingness to relent is causing you pain. Limit your interactions with him, and maintain your relationship with Elise, the children, and Randy's mother.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.